First, a couple of quick things. I hope you will accept this gift from the parish, a book called Holy Moments by Matthew Kelly. It's a wonderful way to not only remind ourselves of what Christmas is really about, but a great way to start your new year coming up, asking God to help you see holy moments in your life. And so this has been made possible by a very generous donation from one of our parishioners. So please do pick up your free copy. There are plenty, so if you know someone at home that would like one, feel free to take two or three as well. Also, because this is the celebration of the Word made flesh come down from heaven, during the Creed today, in the place where we normally bow, today, out of reverence for the Incarnation, we genuflect. And so if you're wondering when that is, just watch the deacon and me, and you can follow what we do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our world is filled with paper and words on the paper. Just think about that. And even if you think about it, texts and all of that, it's just a form of electronic paper. And so what happens? Words proliferate, and people just say and talk. And if you've ever received a text that someone shouldn't have sent, you understand what I'm saying. We don't really think about perhaps all of our words. We don't weigh them heavily before we hit send or put them down on paper, because paper is just so common. But this was not so in the time of our Lord. This didn't come about until the printing press, of course. In the scriptures, no word in the Bible is meaningless. Every word was carefully chosen and weighed and thought about and prayed about. Every word, sometimes even agonized over. And so when St. Luke tells us that after he was born, that the Christ child was laid in a manger, this is not some sentimental cutie fact. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. It is a place for food, not babies. One reason is the shepherds would see this and they would know this is the sign. A baby shouldn't be there. But there's more to it. Luke is intending more in this. This is no ordinary baby. This is the Word made flesh. This is Emmanuel, a Hebrew word that means God is with us. God incarnate is laid in a feeding trough, a manger. Now, fast forward a little over 30 years in the future, and the now grown-up Jesus is preaching in a synagogue in a Galilean village called Capernaum. Here, synagogues are places, even today, where people go to learn about the Word of God. Here, Jesus, the Word made flesh, tells the crowd that he himself is the living bread come down from heaven. Another interesting note, the word Bethlehem in Hebrew means house of bread. Jesus, the living bread, he tells us that if we eat of him, we will live forever. He goes on 6 times to say, eat my flesh and drink my blood. 6 times. And what is interesting, of course, you know the Bible's not written in English, right? Its original language, God chose Greek. And Greek is using 2 words here that we simply read in English as eat. But that's not what's being said. There are 2 words being used. The first one is a normal word for eating, could be symbolic. But the second one is not. If you were to hear this in Greek and you knew what it meant, trogo, you know that it is unmistakable for eating. In fact, and here's the fun fact, it is usually used to describe animals eating at a trough, at a manger. And now we come full circle from his birth and being laid in a manger to shortly before his sacrifice on the cross on Calvary for our sins. His sacrifice so that we can be forgiven and united with him forever in heaven. A divinely given and divine sacrifice that truly makes present in time, Jesus, the celebration of the Holy Mass. And through the Mass, Jesus is offered to you and me as food. As food. Divine food to sustain the soul. My flesh is true food, Jesus says in John's Gospel. Wow, do you see how much God loves you? It is all connected. Jesus is born of King David's line to fulfill what is known about the origins of the Messiah. Christ is literally a translation of Messiah, the chosen one. King David also was a shepherd in his younger years. And, of course, Jesus becomes the good shepherd. But this good shepherd feeds us, his flock, with the best of food, his very self. And it all starts with a little baby lying in a manger in a quiet small village called the House of Bread. It is not insignificant that God chose to be born here in a dark, damp stable because there was no room for him at the inn. He could have chosen a palace or a mansion or a nice house in Achan if he wanted to, but no. He chose instead humility, poverty, and suffering so as to show all the more just how much he loves us and is united to us. God knows our pain. God knows our suffering. He shows it so that we can find the path to authentic happiness and joy and glory. God came as a vulnerable, defenseless, helpless babe in dire need of love and care from a mother and father, Mary and Joseph. And he begs from each of us our love and affection. There was no room in the inn, and Jesus is still looking for shelter in your heart. Christmas is not merely a celebration of a baby born 2,000 years ago. More importantly, it proclaims the feast of our salvation, it heralds the second coming of Christ, and it celebrates the inauguration of the kingdom of God, which is present even now among us. It is astonishing to recognize the presence of God in a tiny, vulnerable infant, so unexpected and so overwhelming. It is equally astonishing today that the same God comes to dwell in you, your temple, you and me, under the appearance of a little bread, the living bread from heaven. Writing in the 300s, the 4th century, St. John Chrysostom said, "If we approach with faith, we too will see Jesus, for the Eucharistic table takes the place of the crib. Here the body of the Lord is present, wrapped not in swaddling clothes, but in the rays of the Holy Spirit." Once again, yet again, our God surprises his people. Our expectations, our old ways of seeing the world are gone. God does not do it the way you would like it to, perhaps, or the way you thought it should be done. And our hopes and our understanding are overturned by a greater force, the hope that lights up our darkness. As the prophet Isaiah said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." God has promised and has fulfilled his promises, and he has come to save you. Today, God invites you and me to follow the star wherever it might go in our own lives, wherever God's plan leads us, to do that with faith and trust and looking for the unexpected, maybe not the way we would do it. Like the shepherds, after we hear this song of the angels of glory and experience this wonderful gift, We now are called to go into the world and tell the good news, to experience the peace and joy of the little child of Bethlehem. And may that peace and joy of Jesus the Messiah, born for you, remain always deeply rooted in your heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.